touching on areas which certainly will apply to people in your days ahead. So what we're talking about today, spiritual roots of diseases. And the one I'm going to cover today is blood. We never talk about blood much, but it's very important in scripture. Now, to lay a foundation, I just want to bring up a few scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16. Very well known piece of scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is always the first thing Jesus taught. For the truth, for correction, and for instructions of righteousness. It's all about how we live right with God. When things are wrong, how we bring into alignment to make sure we live in accordance with the Word of God. In the Word of God, it says here, all scripture, that includes the Old Testament. Includes the complete Bible. Now, doctrinally, there's things in the Old Testament which don't apply to us. But everything in the Old Testament gives you instructions. And you can learn from what happens in the Old Testament. Another scripture is Deuteronomy 32:2. It says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill the dew, as a small rain upon the tender hair, and as the showers upon the grass. My doctrine shall drop as a rain. The Bible is saying here, this doctrine that comes from the Lord, it drops like the rain. It can be gentle, landed on the plants, but it brings life. It brings sustenance. Without water, none of us live. And the Bible says here, his doctrine is like rain, and his speech distills the dew upon the tender hair, because God is always careful. A bruised reed he will not break. And where it's necessary, there are showers. And the Bible talks about showers of blessing. Then when we go into Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible tells us what God says. I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. So God says, I give you good doctrine. Take heed to it. And then when we go to Isaiah 28, verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? So who's God going to teach knowledge to? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So where are you going to get the knowledge? Where are you going to get the doctrine? And it says, to them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And when you become a Christian, you get fed in the milk of the Word. But we're not to stay there, but to grow and to mature, and so that we become grown up, mature in the faith, and know what we believe and stand for. So, when we come to study theology, what you find is you get the doctrine of God, which is talked about his existence, his names, and his attributes. You may also find that the doctrine of man in relation to God, the origin of man, sin, etc., etc. Then we can have the doctrine of the person and work of Christ. Jesus, when he came as a prophet, is now ascended. He intercedes for us as a high priest, but he's coming as King of Kings. And so we have all of these doctrines, and we have atonement. But today what I want to do is bring doctrine right down to something very simple that we can understand. Doctrine is about the truth of Jesus Christ. Doctrine is really about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we are coming to the Word of God, We're coming to what God is telling us, which is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And so it's important for us to know who's speaking to us and to know what is being said. Now, for instance, we take the Ten Commandments. People look at the Ten Commandments and what they see is, don't. But you see, the Ten Commandments are very profound. Because what the Ten Commandments are telling us is God's character. God is saying, this is the way I am. I want you to be like me. Now, for instance, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. Why shouldn't you lie? Because God doesn't lie. You go to the scriptures, in the book of Numbers, it says, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So God is not a man that he should lie. He gives us words, and he gives us instruction, and it's for your good. It is for your benefit. God is telling you, I have created you in my image, and here is the parameters in which I want you to live in, and here is what I want you to follow me and to do, because I'll be good for you. And so when we come to 1 John 1:2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God is, John, when he's writing the epistle here, saying, even as your soul prospers, and you get these encounters with God, you get to know God, he said, I want your health to be prosperous as well. So there is a proper order in Scripture. And that order is always, it is your soul, then it is your health. What if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, the Bible says? What if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? It's not worth it to be in eternity and in darkness. But in the Old Testament, God laid foundations for us, and the law that applies to them in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel, in particular chapters Deuteronomy 20 and Leviticus 26, there's blessings and curses, there's obedience and disobedience, and all the things that follow from that. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel was given laws for the temple, laws for the nation, and moral laws. Well, the laws for the temple, they don't apply to us, they don't even apply to Israel today because they have no temple. They have laws for the nation. Israel today might pick some of these laws, maybe not them all. But the one thing that's never changed is the moral laws of God. What is in the Old Testament, you'll find Paul preaching about in the New Testament. So, notice in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, we have what is known as the Council at Jerusalem. And they come together, and they're talking about what should be taught to the Gentiles. What shall we teach to the Gentiles? And after a big long discussion, James stands up in verse 19 and says, wherefore my sentence is, this is my judgment, this is my recommendation, is that we don't trouble the Gentiles, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. We don't want to trouble them, and we don't want to burden them with all the laws and duties that we could never keep as a nation. He says, but, now there's a few things they should be aware of. And write to them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from sin strangled, and from blood. So here in this passage of Scripture, there's four things. Now, as we'll find out in the weeks ahead, there are other things which are going to come into this. But here we've got four things. And in this passage, as we look at it, I'm not going to cover everything in it, but we do have abstain from the collision of idols. And you know what like it is in the world? You travel around the world, there's many idols, many temples, different types. And there's a pollution and there's a worship to the idols. There is a sacrifices to the idols. And so the Bible says abstain from the pollution and from fornication, which is a big subject which probably take a full day to go into. And things, triangles, and from what? And today I want to just look at the one from blood. See, the passage provides instructions for you which are coming for your benefit. And the Bible tells us that you are forbidden to eat or drink blood. Now in Scotland, one of the things that you can easily buy is black pudding. Black pudding is made from blood. Other cultures have foods which are made from blood. You go into the worship of the different other religions or their cult, and they will drink blood. And the Bible says, you are forbidden to eat blood or drink blood. The Bible tells us it was forbidden in the beginning in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, when God said, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So right in the very beginning in Genesis, God is telling the people, don't touch blood, don't eat blood. You don't eat it, you don't drink it, you abstain from it. When you go to the law, when the law was given in Leviticus 17, verse 10, it said, and whatsoever a man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any man of blood, I will even set my face against them. So God was very much, you do not do it, I am not going to condone it, and so make sure you don't eat blood or drink blood. And then, of course, he gives a reason in verse 11 here in Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. So the Lord says, you don't touch blood. And the reason is that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And your atonement on the altar was the sacrifice in the Old Testament of all the animals. The blood of the animals was shed to cover your sin. Couldn't do away with your sin, but it covered your sin. So Jesus came, and the Bible tells us the blood of God's Son cleansed us from all sin. And so Jesus' blood cleansed us completely from it. And of course, you always take that notice, but keeps it there. The soul that takes the blood. The soul that touches it. The soul. It's always the soul, the soul, the soul. Because your body is compacted dust, but your soul's eternal. And it said, for your own sake, for your own soul, don't touch blood. Don't eat it, don't drink it, abstain from it because the life of the flesh is in it. And I have given the blood upon the altar as a sacrifice to the demon. So you will not touch it, eat it, or drink it. After the law, well, we just read it in Acts 15, but write unto them that they may abstain from blood. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist in chapter 16 says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names in my lips. So the psalmist said, those people who drink offerings to their gods, who drink blood, who lift up their names, he said, I'm not even touching it, I'm not there. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to keep myself separate from that. Because God requires I do not eat or drink any blood. And so, And you get, so when you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, then it starts talking about the cup of devils. Because they drink the blood, and the corruption that comes from it. The thing about blood attracts demons. Blood always attracts the demonic. And so that's why there's a number of things in scriptures. One reason I'm not going to cover today, but the other thing is when you get all your tattoos. Bible says you don't cut yourself, you don't do anything that's going to cut your blood. Get your tattoos, you're starting to shed blood, you're starting to attract the attention of demons. Why does it, when you go to the realm of the occult, the realm of the occult wants young children to offer, just as they done in the Old Testament to the god Moloch, they offer up their young children as sacrifices because the demons are wanting the fresh blood. Blood always attracts the demonic realm. And so you have to be aware, once you start to enter them, then you're attracting entities which you don't want around about you. In Hebrews 10, it talks about Christ's blood is shed. One offering for sin, Jesus' blood shed on the cross to pay the price of our sin. The life is in the blood, and the blood of God is shed for you. The blood of God is shed for me. It wasn't Adam's blood that was shed to cover your sins. It wasn't the blood of human beings. Animal's blood could only cover but could never take away sin. It was only the blood of God that could take away sin. And the book of Hebrews talks about the one sacrifice made by Jesus, the Son of God, to take away sin for us. So if you never touch blood, in conjunction with that, as a side issue, capital punishment was there in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 as well. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And in Numbers 35, it goes through all the different weapons that people could use to kill people. And in Acts, Paul in Acts 25 talks about being falsely accused and how he will make his appeal to Caesar. But Numbers 35, 33 also gives an interesting view. It says, so shall ye not pollute the land wherein ye are. For blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed in it, but by the blood of him that shed it. Blood pollutes the land. And the blood pollutes the land, and you're trying to grow stuff from the land. Well, there's a lot of pollution here. And God said to Cain, where is Abel? And he said to Cain, his blood speaks. His blood is speaking from the ground. So blood has a voice. And innocent blood that is shed, God hears that voice. And so we are warned as God, people, do not eat blood, do not drink blood. It is off limits to you. And so in the final judgment in Isaiah 26, 21, it says, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slave. So there's going to come a time when God is going to deal with the iniquity of the blood that has been shed on this earth. Now when we're coming and we're looking to get freedom, there's three particular areas we have to be aware of. One is sin. Now, when we've talked about eating or drinking blood, people here might have had blood, eat black puddings, and be ignorant of it. So what do you do? Is you repent from your sin. But there's transgression. And transgression is when you know something is wrong, and you continue to do it, then the Bible says that is transgression. And then what we can find is that through family life there can come iniquities. So there's different things that we should always be aware of: sin, transgression, and iniquities. Because these are three doors where spiritual roots of disease come in. And today we are looking at one which is relatively easy to deal with compared to some other areas. Because what we do is we make a confession over to God that we have broken His laws, and we come to get right with God and to get cleansing, and then we get after that, we get prayer for deliverance. Because what happens when you break God's laws? God tells us that you open yourself up to different diseases and different illnesses. You may have allergies which come from things that you have done which are against the commandments of God. You may end up with sicknesses and diseases. Next week, Marita hopes to cover an area where people get involved in. And certain diseases are quite common from people involved in this particular area. You know, especially heart diseases. So spiritual roots of diseases are important, because what, as God's people, we are wanted to bring our life into alignment with what God says. And if God says, I don't want you eating blood and I don't want you drinking blood, then we keep away from that. The pollution to idols. Food has been dedicated to the gods. I mean, at one time in Scotland that probably was a big problem, but things have changed. I mean, for instance, we would take meat that was halal meat because it's dedicated to Allah. Nothing to do with. And I suppose India, Asia, you've got all the gods, different meats, different stuff can be dedicated to them. So we don't do the pollutions. So what we're doing is we're coming into alignment with what God says, because we're God's people. And coming into alignment with the Word of God means there can be diseases and sicknesses that have been born that can be broken off. And we're dealing with this one today. Now, the Bible is known as a bloody book, because there's blood, blood, blood everywhere. In Genesis chapter 3, a lamb is slain for sin. In Genesis chapter 4, the shepherd is slain. In John chapter 10, we have the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Colossians, we have peace through Jesus Christ's blood. In Romans, we are justified by Jesus Christ's blood. In 1 John, we're cleansed by Jesus Christ's blood. Ephesians, we're redeemed by Jesus Christ's blood. In Hebrews, we're purged by Jesus Christ's blood. In Ephesians, we're saved by Jesus Christ's blood. So the blood has got such a prominent place in the scriptures. And so we have to take recognition that we may have transgressed the law of God in this area. And if we have done so, then what we have to do is to repent of that. Because what we're doing is we're beginning to look at the various things in life which the Word of God says that we need to change to bring our life into alignment with what God says. So we need to bring our lives into that place where the Spirit of God can flow through us, and there's no hindrance, and there's no or nothing there that disease can come because of disobedience. So what we're going to do this morning, anybody who has failed to recognize God's commandment, which is sin, or deliberately broken transgression, it is time to deal with it. And so we're going to do prayers of repentance for eating and drinking blood. And as I said at the beginning of the service, it might not necessarily affect everybody, but I'm sure there's quite a lot of people unaware that they have done such a thing. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand at the moment, and we're going to put up a prayer on the screen for you. So let's just stand. And for anybody who this is applicable, let's just speak this prayer. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I confess the sin of eating blood, which is forbidden in Scripture. I also confess the sin of eating food.
I also confess the sin of eating food
that have been offered to other gods. Knowingly or unwittingly, I have broken your law. I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to set me free.
From any spirits which may have attached to me. Due to breaking your law. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to pray. And for anybody that's affected, we're just going to command freedom now to come. And any allergies or any sickness or anything that's come to you because of breaking this law.